chapter 9. And I think about that song, Bring an Offering to You. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. And that, so not only we bring our tithes, our offerings, our giving unto the Lord, but the Bible simply teaches us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So God wants you first. He wants your heart first. And we give out of a heart of love. We give to worship Him, but more than anything else, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and He lives within us. So when we talk about worship and bring an offering to Him, we ought to come in obedience to Him and let God use us as He sees fit in our lives with Him. And so in the Bible, in Luke's Gospel, we're going to begin reading in chapter 9, Luke's Gospel chapter 9. I do appreciate your prayers, and it's good to know that things are moving, and Jacques and Marie are okay, and their ministry there in Haiti, and I appreciate the help and the faithfulness of God's people and love around the world to be able to help them out during this difficult time. In Luke's Gospel chapter 9, Jesus gave us these words here, and we're going to begin reading in verse 57, and I titled, you know, we live in a world today where it's pretty obvious the presence of good and evil, and I think one of the challenges that we have is to make sure that in the presence of evil around the world in different places, that we don't give up our Christian values, that we don't give in, that we don't surrender, that we I titled the message this morning, The Danger of Compromising. The Danger of Compromising. You know, as we speak right now, I need to pray for. I mean, on the way into the sanctuary this morning to worship, Mark Wagers was showing me an email that he got many missionaries right now that are in Afghanistan are fearful that their lives could be taken with all the uprising, with all the things that are going on over there. We need to pray for our missionary friends that are in Afghanistan. We need to pray for pastors and believers and Christians that are there. And no matter where you look around the world that we live in, you see oftentimes the rise of evil, the presence of evil around us. And you don't have to look very far. You can see that right around home, right around here, right around the country that we live in. And so in the presence of all that, we want to make sure that we as Christians, that we do not compromise, and that there's dangers that come with compromising that which we believe in. And notice in verse 57, Jesus gave us this text of Scripture, Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and let's begin reading. You can also read this over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, but in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57 down to verse 62, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord," notice this now, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." We'll come back and explain some of these in a moment. "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I want you to think about that words there that Jesus gave to us, several things down through here. In verse 58, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Follow me. Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And then, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." When you think about the word compromise in the Bible, when you look at it, compromise is just simply the settling or the settlement of a dispute that is reached by either side making some kind of a concession. So I would say to you today that I think it's very evident that Satan would love for you and I to make concessions about what we believe, about what we stand for, about what is going on. You know, I've often thought of that in our world today, if we could back up Christianity and go back 50 years, go back 30 years, and take some of those that have walked on before us, if they could see the world that we're living in today, and some of the sin and some of the values and some of the principles and some of the things, I think they would be shocked to say the world that we're living in. You know why? Much of where we're at today is because many have made concessions. Many have compromised along the way and say, well, is this or that or one thing or another, is it really that bad? We need to stand on biblical convictions and biblical principles. And here in Luke chapter 9, a certain man told the Lord that he would follow him wherever he wanted him to go. And Jesus simply said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And then he simply said, follow me. Now the excuses began to fall in place. Look at it in verse 59. He said, Lord, I will follow you in verse 59, but allow me first to go and bury my father. This was a common phrase. His father was not really dead. It means that he wanted to wait until he received his inheritance or until there was a more convenient time. And so when you look at it today, when you compromise and you look for the convenience, we should not, sometimes serving in Christianity is not convenient. Being dedicated and true and faithful to your values and your principles and your convictions sometimes is not convenient. And so that simply, I think, is what that means. When we look at it in verse 61, he said, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go to my home and bid them farewell that are at my house. Jesus responds by saying, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So we find here, he says, that they make some excuse or they make some compromise. And Luke 9 is all about giving. It says these events here in Luke chapter 9 unfold. Jesus just got done teaching on the sending forth the 12 to be able to preach the feeding of the 5,000 and that. And so teaching here, the Lord taught on the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. But when we get to this part of it here, it's a strong warning in the Bible against compromise. Being careful what we compromise. And many in the Bible compromised, and it cost them dearly. That's what I want to give you, the core of the message today. I want to show to you in the Bible some Christians that compromised their values and their principles, and they paid a price. So you need to be careful, and I want you to go to Genesis, the book of Genesis in chapter 13, and keep this in mind today, is don't compromise that which you know to be truth. And the first example I want to give you this morning in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 13, and the Bible story here of Lot. And we know that Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and when you get to Lot here and look at it down in verse 10, and it's really, when you look in verse 10 and verse 11, is really the first step of backsliding or falling away or getting away from or compromising your beliefs or compromising your values. The Bible says in verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. As you know in the Bible, Abraham's flock and family and herd and everything became very large. And Lot's family and that also became very large. And it came to the point where they had to separate and one go one direction, one go the other. And Abraham let Lot make the choice. So here he made the choice. It said he lifted up his eyes right away and he began to choose. Lot, you know what Lot did here? He really compromised through the lust of the eye. And there's simply three things that led to the fall of man in the book of Genesis. The lust of the eye, that which we see and we give into, we compromise to and we give into. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh that we give into, and then the pride of life, the pride. And those three things caused the fall of man with Adam and Eve. So Lot's compromise came also through the lust of the flesh. Look at it, the lust of the eye in verse 10, but look in verse 12. Verse 12 and verse 13 here of Genesis 13. Verse 12 and verse 13. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So when you look at it in that verse, where did he compromise? He chose the well-watered plains. He beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well-watered everywhere. It says here in verse 13 that as they did so, that Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. But here's the downside. Here's where he compromised. He compromised his convictions of the fact that in verse 13, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, and Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. So when you look at it here, Lot was a saved man. 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 7, the Bible, Peter calls Lot a just man. To be called a just man in the Bible means you're a saved man, a born-again man, a believer. Lot was a believer. And so Lot is called just Lot. He was a righteous man, but he made carnal choices. I'm fearful today that too many Christians fall into that same category. Oh, yes, they're saved. Yes, they're on the way to heaven. Yes, they know that they have eternal life. But they've pitched their tent in the wrong direction. By that meaning, they have made wrong choices in life, and you're pitching your tent towards Sodom. And look at it here in chapter 13, and we see that here all the way from verse 1 to verse 9. Look at it in Genesis 13, the Bible says. Simply says in Genesis 13, verse 1, and Abram, he went up out of Egypt, he, his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and gold, and he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, verse 5, Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. Here's two very wealthy men. So that they could not dwell together, in verse 6. In verse 7, there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. Did you ever notice Abraham's the peacemaker? Abraham's the one that was the one trying to hold it together. He said, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. We be brethren. So Lot, you choose. You pick wherever you want to go. So Lot made a choice. Lot is a picture in the Bible of that carnal Christian that pitched his tent in the wrong direction. He followed the flesh of the eye. He followed the lust of the flesh, and he went in a different direction. So Lot made a choice. Genesis 19, the Bible simply says that Lot sold out for the world. Sodom and Gomorrah, the last step in Lot's backsliding came. Let me show it to you. Go to Genesis chapter 19. Lot is really a picture, a story in the Bible of the believer that made carnal decisions, the believer that got away from the Lord, thought he was doing the right thing, but pitched his tent in the wrong direction. And Genesis chapter 19, notice in verse 33. And verse 33, the Bible says, and notice here, this is the last step in Lot's backsliding, and they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she rose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. This is, the Bible calls over in the book of Peter, a just man. But here's a carnal man that pitched his tent in the wrong direction and went from bad to worse. It said the firstborn son, and called his name Moab. And by the way, Moab, the Moabites, became an enemy of Israel down through the years, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. In verse 38, and the younger, she also bare a son, called his name Benami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon. So there you go, out of that, out of this carnal Christian, out of the one that made some bad choices, out of the one that compromised his convictions and compromised that which he knew was right to do, we find here that committed incest with his daughters, and we find here Moab was born and Ammon was born. So when you look at it, you know, simply I would just sum it up for you in this way, that Lot's compromise simply was that he sold out for the world.
He sold out through that which he saw through the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, and he gave in to that, and he went in that direction. Don't give in and don't compromise your convictions, and realize here there becomes a danger always in compromise. Go over to the book of Judges now, and let me show you something in Judges. Judges chapter 16. We find, I think, another man that also compromised in the Bible that shows us the danger of compromising came down to Samson in Judges chapter 16. And we find here, Samson was a judge in the nation of Israel. There were 13 judges that judged Israel. And this was before King Saul and King David and King Solomon. There were judges in the land. Samson was one of those judges. These judges were there to raise up and to deliver the nation of Israel. Samson's compromise, though, is that he separated himself for a position for Delilah. And Samson was living under a Nazarite vow, and Samson's strength, we know, was in his long hair. But look at it here, if you will, Judges chapter 16, and begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 4. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto them, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he broke the withs, and as a thread of tow was broken, and he touched the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherefore thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes, they never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said to her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. She fastened it with a pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep, and he went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me, and thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth? And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto him. And now you find here Samson is getting ready to compromise his convictions. He said that he told her, notice this now, all his heart. He said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come upon this once, for he has showed me all his heart. And then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, brought the money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He compromised. He gave in and he compromised. And we find here, Samson loved Delilah. In verse 7, the first attempt to compromise. In verse 11, the second attempt to compromise. And then in verse 13, the third attempt, he tells her finally all of his heart and compromises his commitment to God. There is danger always in compromise. So what did they end up doing? He tells her all his heart. They put out his eyes. He was grinding in the prison house, and his hair began to grow back again. And so we find that Samson in his death killed more than in his life. And so Samson is listed here in the Bible as one of the heroes of the faith. But in the middle of all this, he compromised. Let me give you another one. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 11. In the Bible, what a great story here of Solomon in the Bible. So we see compromise by Lot. We see compromise by Solomon and by Samson. And now we see it by King Solomon. You go to 1 Kings chapter 11. And we know that no one in the Bible probably had more possibilities than Solomon. They sang about that song this morning and over in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes talks about the seasons of life and everything. But Solomon was the wisest man ever to live. He prayed for wisdom. He prayed for knowledge and understanding to be able to rule over the nation of Israel. And God gave him that wisdom and understanding in the position that he was in. But Solomon then compromised and gave in and played this dangerous game of compromise. The Bible simply says here, look at it in 1 Kings and chapter 11, and you get down to this verse in verse 3, simply says, and he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and notice this now, his wives turned away his heart. His wives turned away his heart. And by that meaning, many times kings, when they would conquer a territory or overtake a land, many times they would get wives or concubines here and there, and they would bring them into the palace or the house of God there, the temple. And that's what Solomon did. He had all these wives, all these concubines. But it led, because he compromised this, it led to his downfall. So what you got to ask yourself is, what is it in my life, if I'm going to compromise whatever with evil or whatever it is, you need to be really careful, because it can lead you away from God. It can steal your heart away from Him. And that's exactly what happened to Solomon. The kingdom was united under Solomon, but upon his death, then the Bible says that the kingdom divided itself, and his son Rehoboam then takes over. It was a united kingdom up until that. It was a united kingdom under Saul. It was a united kingdom under David. It was a united kingdom under Solomon. But Solomon compromised who he was, what he believed in, what he was knew he was right to do, and he took in these evil wives or concubines that did not believe God. Now, here's a good principle for you. You should only, a saved person should only marry a saved person. An unsaved person can marry an unsaved person, but you don't want to ever have a saved person that believes and trusts in God marry somebody that's unsaved. Why? You're compromising your beliefs. You're compromising your position. You're compromising your relationship with God. And you know, it's interesting. You say, well, you know, if I can do that, I can turn them around and make good out of it. I don't know. My experience down through life and watching is, see, if you put a bad apple in a barrel of apples, and you've got all kinds of good apples, but you put one bad one in there, let me ask you this. Will those good apples turn that bad apple into a good apple? Never. It'll always be the other way around. It'll deteriorate and spoil and ruin the others, and we see that right here with Solomon. It led to his downfall, and it's a tragedy here, because then under his son Rehoboam, the kingdom divides, and now it becomes a divided kingdom. We find in 2 Chronicles, you don't have to turn there for sake of time today, but in 2 Chronicles it talks about King Asa compromised with King Benadad. And time again, Asa was the king of Judah, and Asa became unequally yoked with the king of Syria instead of trusting the Lord. And he needed to trust the Lord. King Asa was rebuked by Hanani, but would not repent and died out of fellowship with God. The compromise was that King Asa sought not the Lord. And so, but the physicians that he turned to in the Scripture, and you can find a time again. Let me give you another one. You go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Jehoshaphat in the Bible compromised with King Ahab. Ahab was one of the most wicked, vile, corrupt, evil kings in the land. I don't know about you, but a little bit scary to see what's going on in Afghanistan right now. And you see with leaders, and when somebody that's good and somebody that's godly and somebody that loves the Lord, it affects a nation as a whole. You put evil leadership or corrupt leadership or leadership in there that honors not the Lord, and it wreaks down all kinds of havoc and corruptness upon a nation. And so it was with Jehoshaphat. When you look at it, king of Judah, Jehoshaphat was in 2 Chronicles 18, was the king of Judah. But he compromised with a wicked and corrupt king. 2 Chronicles 17:3, the Bible simply states that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. But you get down to verse 4. Well, let me show it to you. Go to 2 Chronicles in your Bible there, chapter 17. Jehoshaphat sought out the Lord. And 2 Chronicles 17, I want you to see this. And that the Lord was with him. Jehoshaphat in verse 4 there sought out the Lord. We get to chapter 17. Well, back up in verse 1. And Jehoshaphat the son, remember now king of Judah, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim, and which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord, notice this now, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he walked in the ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. So when you look at Jehoshaphat here, he sought the Lord. His heart was lifted up to the Lord in ways, and that he led Israel in a time of great revival. Revival comes when people repent of their sin and the Word of God reigns supreme and has free reign to work in the hearts and lives of people. But the compromise came later on, as we see down through here, is in chapter 18, Jehoshaphat makes an alliance with Ahab. Ahab was a wicked, corrupt, vile king. In chapter 7, and the first part of this, chapter 17, we see him honoring the Lord and putting the Lord first. Now you go down to chapter 18, and now he compromises his convictions and he strays away from the Lord. And so the prophet says to Jehoshaphat here, shouldest thou help the ungodly? Notice in, skip down to chapter 19. Chapter 19, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thy heart to seek God. So the prophet says to Jehoshaphat here, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath from thee before the Lord. Prepare thine heart to seek the Lord. So many in the Bible, you can get example after example after example, have compromised the Lord. And so you find here Lot compromised for pitching his tent towards the ways of the world and Sodom and Gomorrah. So let me ask you this today, my friend. Which way is your tent pitched today? You say, well, I don't have a tent. You know what I mean by that. Where's your principles? Where are your values? Where are your convictions? Where are you pitching your tent towards today? Is it towards good or toward evil? Is it toward the Lord? And, you know, we need more Abrahams, more peacemakers, more no matter which way. And so Lot made a choice, and he chose the wrong way. He chose the lust of the eye. He chose the lust of the flesh. Samson, he compromised his separated position for the lust of the flesh, which was another woman. And by that gave in, and it created havoc in his life. Solomon compromised, and his wives turned him away from God. You know what we ought to do today? The core of the message simply is that today, that no matter what, don't let anything or anybody turn your heart towards evil or away from God. You got to protect yourself by all means, by all decision making, by all convictions, by all things. If there's anything going on in your life today that allows you to pitch your tent in the wrong direction, my friend, it'll lead you away from God. That's what happened with Lot. That's what happened with Samson. That's what happened with Solomon. That's what happened with Jehoshaphat. That's what happened with King Asa. So don't compromise. We find here King Asa compromised by not seeking the Lord, but he turned to physicians. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, compromised by becoming unequally yoked with the wicked king of Ahab. So do not compromise with evil. Let me show you this psalm. Go over to Psalm, if you will, and Psalms chapter 119. I want you to see this in the scripture. That don't compromise or allow yourself to become defiled from the Lord. It says simply here, Psalm chapter 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. And they also that do iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep our keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all thy commandments, I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart. And when I shall have learned of thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Not allowing your heart to become undefiled. Hebrews, the book of Colossians talks about, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Paul said this in Hebrews 3, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. Today you need to protect your heart. Today you need to protect and not give in to the dangers of compromise. You compromise a little, it'll turn your heart away from God. It'll turn your desire away from Him. You need to guard yourself and to realize today, be wise in the choices that we all make day by day. God is serious about our not compromising His Word and the values of the world, and the reasoning being that outside of Christ may then come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Satan would love to snare you and to trap you any way he can. So don't compromise your biblical beliefs. Don't give in. You know, it'll be interesting. There are many today, right now, that are being challenged, and their life could be threatened in Afghanistan if you stand on the Bible, the Word of God, and believing in Jesus Christ. I would not be surprised if you'll hear more of the future come out that some will be martyred or their life will be taken only for the very fact that they are a Christian and believe in God and believe in salvation, and they do not believe in Allah, and they do not believe in the wickedness of the Islamic State, of the religion that they're promoting and the propaganda that the Taliban's pushing throughout that country. The battle is on. The warfare is on. A warfare is on. Don't compromise our biblical beliefs. And how do we compromise the Word of God? When we fail to accept the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, when we place our desires and that of others ahead of the Word of God. The Word of God should reign supreme. The Word of God should protect our hearts. The Word of God should be the very thing that feeds our soul. And the Word of God, my friend, is the very thing that will keep you from compromising against evil and against wrong and against the unwise choices of life. You know why? Because if you go to give in to something, go to do something, the Bible will come to mind, and you'll remember what the Word of God says, and it should bring conviction and say, you know what? That's not a good choice. Lot, you didn't make a good choice. Samson, you didn't make a good choice. Jehoshaphat, you made a good choice, and then you gave in and made a bad choice. Be careful. Your choices can lead you to the dangers of compromise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, today we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. And Father, today we pray, and it's our prayer today, that if there's anybody here that's not saved, or those listening by way of live stream today, that if they're not saved, God, that they'd open their heart and believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. God, today we know that salvation comes by repentance of our sin, by believing that we are sinners and that none can save themselves, and there's no way we can earn or work our way into heaven. So God, today I pray the Holy Spirit of God would convict and draw men and women and boys and girls, their hearts toward you. And then God, there may be some here today that are walking a very fine line of being tempted to compromise. God, I pray that they'll look to the Word of God. They'll find strength in the Word of God. They'll not allow evil or the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye or the pride of life get them to compromise their beliefs and what they believe and what they know is right. And God, may we live faithfully for you, even in the dire of circumstances, even in the evils of the day, even if persecution and challenging time comes. And God, we pray for our dear brothers and sisters in Christ that are in Afghanistan today, that very well their faith could be tested this morning. I pray they won't compromise their beliefs. Very simply, it could be a very dangerous time. God, I pray the Holy Spirit today would put a hedge of protection about them and keep them safe. And during these challenging days that we live in, God, today, may we never, ever compromise our belief and our personal convictions in you. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together today as we
give a verse of invitation today. My friend, if you're here and you're not saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Who does your heart belong to today? Have you given your heart to the Lord today? Give Him all your heart, all your desires, and don't compromise your values, your principles, your convictions. Stand firm and stand true on the Word of God today. If the Holy Spirit, you want to come to pray, you're welcome to come. As Brother Ron leads us in a verse of invitation, if I can pray with you, if you want to talk about the church and church membership, I'd love to visit with you about that, to be a member at First Baptist. Brother Ron.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry.
The dangers of compromise.
Every head bowed and every eye closed today. Let me just speak briefly to those of you that are here today, and you may be looking for a church home, a church family. We'd love to have you come and make First Baptist your church home to serve in, to serve the Lord in today. The requirements for membership here at First Baptist is you must be saved. You must be born again. You must be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you also need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And if you haven't been scripturally baptized, we can do that whenever you decide to join the church. But we'd encourage you, we invite you. We welcome people of all walks of life and everybody an opportunity to come and to serve the Lord. Join with us here while we have time. The Lord's coming, and His coming is soon and very soon. Our time is limited, my friend. Make a church, decide on a church home and jump in and serve Him until He comes. One more verse. Give you an opportunity. If I can pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you here at the front, Brother Ron.
Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief, meeting there in deep.
Heavenly Father God, we just pray today that we'd be faithful and loyal to You and be careful and be wise in what we do, that we don't compromise our principles, our Bible convictions, and the evil and wicked world that we live in today. God, may we be found faithful in serving You until Jesus comes. In his name we pray. Amen. Be seated just for a moment, if you will. Brother Frank, why don't you come on down and down here. And that, if you'll see Brother Ron, he needs a microphone. And that, he'll need a microphone. He's going to say something here in just a moment. And that. But let me just say, as far as announcements goes, the Awana ministry is getting ready to pick up. And so starting on September the 12th, we need more Awana helpers. And Joe and Sue and Barb Allison are going to be leading the Awana ministry this year. And so if you can help us, we need more workers and more helpers in that to help in the Awana ministry. We have moved it to Sunday night at 5 o'clock. And so we look forward to the Awana beginning on Sunday night at 5 o'clock, beginning on September the 12th. So if you have children in that age group, see them, and we need to get things rolling and get them signed up and ready to go for Cubby, Sparks, and TNT. And then also, too, if you would, there is bowling is getting ready to start up September the 18th. Brother Steve Schramm indicated there's going to be a bowling. That's when it starts. I don't know where Steve's at, but I think it starts on the 18th, correct? Okay. All right. Sounds good. So if you're interested in bowling, see Brother Steve and be a... Okay. And there's a sign-up sheet for that at the Welcome Center and that. So, amen. And then also the corn roast is coming up on Labor Day weekend. We do a corn roast here right after the morning service. We encourage you to sign up for that. And that the church is going to provide, I think, is pulled pork and some hamburgers, hot dogs for that. But they take corn, they soak it all night in water, and then we put it on the grill. And it's finger-licking good. I understand, Steve, you have the church record for, that's what I heard. Somebody told me 25 years of corn. So if you want to go at it, Steve's got the church record for corn. I don't know. But anyway, the side dishes, our Sunday school class, Golden Age class, the adult Sunday school class is getting the side dishes ready. I think Dolores and their class, the ladies' class, are prepared, getting desserts signed up for that. And thank Pastor. Pray for Pastor Adam and Haley. They're out a little bit sick today, not feeling well, so they should bounce right back, but they're not in the services today. They'll be getting the drinks and everything ready. It'll be a fun day of fellowship. I think they have a bouncy house thing for all the children. There's a dunk tank that'll be here that day, and we're looking for volunteers to sit on the dunk tank, other than the pastors and the staff. And so I think in the youth department, Gabe and Luke said they would volunteer, but if that's just something you're thrilled about, I think we should put Bob Wilcox on there because he's always pushing the lever that dunks all of us. Oh, overwhelming response, Bob. You better bring your swimming suit that day. All right, so the corn roast. But anyway, one of the things that the church has done, we had money given to the church and that to purchase an automated emergency defibrillator, both for here at the church location and the camp. And Frank Barrett is a retired firefighter and has a lot of experience in this. We've gone ahead and we have purchased those. You want to take a couple minutes and tell them what we're doing. And that is located at the Welcome Center. I don't want to steal your thunder, so go ahead and turn your mic on. You got your mic. And just tell them, we don't want to take too long here, but we want to tell them what you got going on.
Okay. So. Well, as everybody knows, medical emergencies can happen just about anywhere at any time. And to that end, we've always kept first aid boxes located safely around the building to handle those. As well, cardiac emergencies are a whole nother story, and they as well can happen anywhere and anytime. And especially with sudden cardiac arrest, the key to survival is rapid intervention with CPR, and if available, the application and use of an automatic external defibrillator, otherwise known as an AED. So back during the winter, I was tasked by the pastor to research and look into the purchase of AEDs for use both here and at the Bethel Youth Camp. And we put together a program. We had discussion with the deacons, an educational session with them. And it was decided that we should go ahead and pursue this, and we did. And today I am here to announce that we do have our AED units. There's one that's going to be located here in the church, in the Welcome Center. It's going to be in a white cabinet, aptly named the AED cabinet. And it will be available for use here, hopefully never. But like an insurance policy, you hope you never use it, but it's nice when you have it and you need it. The second one will be located up at the Bethel Youth Camp very shortly. I'm going to be getting with Bud and deciding on a location, and we'll travel up there and get that one in service. They have a lot of potential up there with the crowds that they pull in on a normal year and the activities and such going on up there, so it'll be a blessing to have one up there as well. In conjunction with this, this one is now in service and ready to be used should we need it. We're going to hold a CPR class October 4th at 6 p.m. That's a Monday. And the first class we're going to target towards the safety team here at the church and church staff. And if there is room beyond that, we'll open it up to church members. And if we have enough interest, we can always hold a second class as well. CPR is a good thing to, a good skill to have, not just here at the building, but as you go through life. It's just a nice skill to have. So we'll have representatives from the Canton Fire Department teaching that class. So again, October 4th, Monday, 6 p.m. We'll have sign-up sheets out at some point in the near future, and we'll go from there. And Pastor Rick, okay, if you have anything else.
Good. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And if you have any questions, see Frank. We'll get those set up. And so this is something that's been in the works here for a little while, and money was donated towards getting those, and so we wanted to kick that off.
I'll be out at the Welcome Center after church if anybody has questions, okay, or would like to see further.
Amen. Like he said, you know, you hope you never have to use one of those, but it's like an insurance policy, and if we do, we just want to be prepared. So let's stand together. Good to see you in church today. Don't compromise the dangers of compromise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the music. It's such a blessing. It encourages our hearts, allows us to be able to worship you, and thank you for the hard work that Brother Ron, the praise team, all those that make that possible week in and week out, and we love each and every one of them. Thank you for their hard work and dedication. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that teaches us about what compromise is. Those in the Bible that compromised made some tough decisions, and some of them made wrong decisions along the way. So God, may we learn from the Bible how to make good and godly decisions, not give in to the evils of the world, and that we protect our heart, and God, that we understand the importance of being dedicated faithfully to you, and that there's dangers of compromise along the way. And Satan would love nothing more than to get us to compromise or give in to our convictions. And so, God, help us to be faithful in these trying times. And God, in Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, got one more announcement. Yeah, the class. Bob's right here. And those are going to be working in Vacation Bible School. He's going to have a safety meeting over in the conference room. And if you're helping in VBS, Awana, the Awana Ministry, any Children's Ministry Sunday School, or those that have not had it, Bob's going to hold a child safety meeting over in the conference room right now. If you go quickly, you can do it and still get to lunch on time. Have a great day. Good to see you.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and the wisest bow before him. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, see the sky alive with praise, melting darkness in its blaze. There is light forevermore. Jesus saves. He will live our sorrow sharing. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He will die our burdens bearing. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.